grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for our meditation this evening is the gospel lesson we heard read a moment ago from Matthew chapter 25. This parable Jesus spoke of the 10 virgins. Now this parable deals with two things. It deals with faithfulness and it deals with wisdom. Something we all lack severely. So this parable that Jesus speaks about is about his return, his coming again on the last day. He is the bridegroom who comes. And the bride is the church. We confessed in the Apostles' Creed, we believe in the communion of saints. That's not the Lord's Supper. The communion of saints is the church, those of us, me and you, who gather here. That's who the church is. Now, to understand this parable, you've got to understand what Jewish betrothal was, what a Jewish wedding was. Okay? A man and a woman who became husband and wife at the discretion of the parents. They made the arrangement. So that's already been done in the Jewish family. That's all said and done. So what happens is the bridegroom gets everything ready. Now the betrothal, the period of time of, let's say, kind of like their engagement, the length of that would be based upon how long it took him to get a home ready for the man and the woman to live in, to get a marital home ready, or to get room in his parents' house ready for them. Either way, what he would do then, he would gather a bunch of his friends, both male and female, and they would march in procession when they were all ready. Again, the words are, when they were all ready, they would make in procession over to the bride's house to get her. And then they would take the bride with them. The bridegroom would go get his wife, his bride, and then take her with him. That's important to understanding this parable. The bridegroom comes. He comes ready to take his bride, the church, and to take them with him into heaven. Now, these 10 virgins, these are not that they were virgins in a virgin sense. It's just that they were, it was a Jewish wedding. And these were 10 people, 10 women, who were going to be going with them to the wedding feast. Now, 10, Jesus uses the number 10 here. Let's get into the numbers thing. 10 is a number of completedness in the Bible. 10, okay? There's 10 commandments. God saw fit to see 10 would be sufficient. 10 was the number. 10 pieces of silver is mentioned in Scripture. Excuse me. There are 10 servants, 10 pounds. There's 10 cities. So 10 is the number of completedness. And then you know what else? You got to know this. In order to form a synagogue, you had to have a minimum of 10 families in order for there to be a synagogue. If you're going to start a new church, a synagogue, you had to have 10 families committed to participating. So 10. But now in this parable, 5 of them were wise and 5, it says, were foolish. Five were stupid. But five were sensible. Okay? It's not that five were Christians and five were unbelievers. It's that five were not very smart and five had a lot of common sense and good faith, fed faith. And this is to show that there will be many Christians that will not be taken into heaven. That's why our Lord said this parable. He's speaking about faithfulness and wisdom throughout this parable. And he's saying that as he just used the number 10 as completedness, but so there's going to be a lot of Christians that aren't going to make it into heaven. But which ones? Which ones, Pastor? Well, the lamps are an important feature of this parable. The lamps. Without light, you can't see. You heard in our readings there, especially in the Old Testament lesson, when the Lord comes, it's darkness. It's a dark day. You need to have light. You have to have a lamp, and it has to be filled with oil. Now, the bridegroom, he could be delayed. Jesus hasn't come back yet, has he? So that oil in your lamp, it could be burning out. It needs to be replenished. Now those five who didn't take extra oil with them, they ran up and said, hey, give us some of yours, for our lamps are going out. And they were told what? They were told, go to the dealers and buy some more. You know, Isaiah spoke about this. Come and receive that without a price. Milk to be fed without payment. It doesn't cost you anything. But yet these five foolish virgins were told to go to the dealers and buy some more faith. Like, get out of my hair. Get away from me. I don't have time for you. He's coming. He's coming right now. And when Jesus comes, everybody on the face of the earth is all going to know it all at once. Everybody's going to hear the trumpet blast. Everyone is going to see him all at once. And there's going to be people, and you're going to be sitting there saying, oh, finally, thank the Lord he is here. And there's going to be people running up and saying, oh, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? How can I get on board with this? I thought it was a myth. I didn't really believe that he was actually going to come. There's going to be people wondering, what do I do now? That's why you're told, especially here, and I have said this repeatedly to you, your faith isn't going to save him. Your faith won't help her. Your faith isn't going to help her. It's your faith, your faith, your faith, your faith, my faith. It's a personal self thing. My faith. How is my faith? And Jesus says, take inventory. Check your oil. See if you've got enough oil for your lamp. See if your faith is fed sufficiently, because he hasn't come back yet. And you know, I'm pretty certain. I mean, I can be that bold to suggest, and I hope that I'm wrong, but I'll bet you Thursday morning is going to pop up on us, maybe even Friday morning, and the Lord won't have come back yet. So lamps with oil are life vitalized by faith in Christ. Now it's also life with good works. You know, that's gospel. We're going to do good works. It's important that we do good works. And, you know, we don't believe in the works righteousness. Works aren't going to get us into heaven, but it's important that we do good works. That's what comes from faith. We have to do them both. We got to have faith, and we got to have those good works. Now, this part about these 10 virgins. Now, did you notice that it was all 10 of them became drowsy and fell asleep? This won't be the last time Jesus comes up and finds 10 of his believers drowsy and falling asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane on the same night in which he was betrayed. Jesus said, stay with me, stay awake, watch for me. And he goes off to pray like he had always done all throughout his ministry. He went off by himself to pray. And we know the prayers that he prayed during his time on Gethsemane and what had happened to the disciples. And at that time, there were 10 of them with him. They fell asleep. And he comes back. God himself, Jesus Christ, came back to all the disciples. Can you not stay awake with me one night? Once, one night, I ask you to stay awake. So, when Jesus says, watch therefore, for you know neither the day or the hour, he's referring back to verse 5. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. It's a parable. We know that he is coming. Matter of fact, the early church in the first and second centuries thought that he was going to come at any minute. And we still believe that he could come at any moment. One last thing. We know that you and I and our loved ones may have died, and we may die ourselves before Jesus returns. We will be raised up on that great and glorious last day, just as we were the day we died. We died with him, and we were raised with him. We will be raised with him, and we'll hear him say, come, come to the wedding feast. Come with me. I'll take you there. Be with me. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in the risen Christ Jesus. Amen.